I went to the shoe repair shop this week, and I've had these shoes for a few years. I don't remember exactly how long I've had them, and this is the third time that soles and heels have been put on these shoes. And the first time, Debbie took them to the repair shop, and she picked them up and she brought them home. And the second time, I didn't know where she took them. I just knew there was a repair shop at the mall, so I took them there. And then when I was in Great Lakes visiting our fellowship last week, I realized that there was a hole in my sole. It had worn all the way down to where when I stepped on the cold pavement and the snow, it came through. And so when I came home, I said, Debbie, I got to get these shoes repaired. And she said, oh, okay, we'll take them in. And so Debbie and I were running some errands on, I think it was Monday, might have been Tuesday, and we went to the repair shop, and two things happened. One is the gentleman looked at the shoes, and we were at the repair shop Debbie went to, not the one I went to. And he looked at the shoes, and he said, wow. And he laughed. And I thought he was going to say, they're past repair. That's what I thought he was going to tell me. You know, look, you don't ruin a pair of shoes like this and then ask me to. But he didn't. He said, wow. And then he said, in broken English, he said, where you go? And I didn't know exactly what he meant. He said, not my work. And Debbie looked at me like, where'd you go? And I said, oh, I went to the shoe repair shop in the mall. And he said, not my work. No stitch. Cheap sole. No last. And I said, can you fix them? He said, yes. I fix. We'll last. I stitch. I was thinking about that as I was praying in preparation for this message, and I don't want to get to judgment and have God say to me, not my work. No stitch. I want to get to judgment and have God say to me, I recognize that. That's the one who was broken. That's the one who was lost. That's the one who I saved. I recognize that one. That lost soul is mine. That lost soul came to me. That lost soul is family. We're starting a 5-week series on grace. And it's an interesting thing because grace is so beautiful, so pure, so powerful, so wonderful, and yet in the church world it can be so misunderstood. Let me take a few moments to tell you what, in my understanding, what grace is not. Grace is not the enemy of obedience. Grace is not the enemy of works. Grace is not the enemy of us striving to do our best, to press toward the prize. But grace also is not our enemy. Grace is our friend. When you look for definitions of faith, you find several interesting words. One thing that's interesting is to find the comparison between justice and mercy in faith. Justice is, imagine going to court for a crime you committed. Let's make it a little more specific. Let's say that three of us go to court for the same crime, a serious crime, a crime that could end with a sentence of life imprisonment. Or even more, a crime that could end with the sentence of death. We could be killed for this crime, and three of us are standing before the judge, all having committed the same crime, all standing before the judge, guilty. One of us receives justice, the death penalty. The other receives mercy, a second chance. Go home. Do better next time. And the third receives grace. The judge says, I'm going to pay for your sin. I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm going to pay the price. You're not just getting a second chance, you're getting a clean slate. Unmerited favor. Grace. Can you imagine? Those of you who understand grace, those of us who have been touched by grace, those of us who've been blessed by having the grace of God in our life, can you imagine life without it? In preparation for this message, I read some stories about grace. One was described as a classroom of students, and they had gone through the semester, and they had studied diligently. They had taken the tests. They understood the course. It was a very high-level math class. I would tell you what it was, but I can't say it because it's, I don't know how to say trigonometry or any of those words. I just can't do it. 1 + 1 = 2. That's all I've got. But it was a high-level math class, and the professor decided to do the final exam in a different way. And so he said to the class as he passed out the final exam, he said, this will make up 50% of your grade. But read all of the instructions before you begin to take the test. And you've heard different stories like this, so perhaps you're not surprised that I'm going to say that the last instruction was, if you simply put your name on the top of the test and date it, you will get an A. But if you fill in any blanks, you will get the grade you deserve. Well, all of the students read the instructions in their entirety. And most of the students simply signed and dated the exam and were grateful for the A they would get. But one student said, you know, I've studied hard. I've worked overtime. I didn't just do my best effort. I went beyond. I can get an A on this. And I hate the idea of being bunched in with all the other students who wouldn't get an A. They might get a B or a C or a D or even an F. It's unfair for them to get an A by signing their name. And me, knowing that I can earn an A. So she contemplated this for quite a while and decided, I'm taking the test. Now, I want to leave you hanging on what grade she got. And I'll tell you why. Because that's what it is to reject grace. But here's the reality. If we take the test of life without grace, you can't get an A. You can't answer the questions right enough to get an A on this test of life without grace. You can't go through life frustrating the grace of God and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And it's a delicate thing when we talk about grace, because grace, as I said earlier, is not the enemy of works. I have some notes back there at the board, but somehow I haven't got to them yet. I don't know if I will. But I want to go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Those of you who have your Bibles, turn with me. Verse 8, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says these words, for by grace are ye saved through faith. For by what are ye saved? For by what are ye saved? Oh, grace. Are ye saved through faith? Now, faith is an interesting word. The Bible gives us a definition of faith. The Bible doesn't give us a definition of every word, but it does give us a definition of faith. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of faith. What's the definition of grace? I don't know that I see one exactly that way in Scripture, but I think unmerited favor is as good a definition as I have. How about you? Have you got a definition of grace? I'm really asking you. We can interact here. Anyone have a definition of grace that rings true for you, Bob? Wait a minute. This is more than a couple words. I'm bringing you the mic because I'm not going to repeat it. I don't have a rich uncle.
Grace is like when your rich uncle, who's a successful businessman, gives you a job in the mailroom and looks for an opportunity to promote you, even though you don't have the training and the expertise to succeed in that business.
And frustrating, the grace of God would be remaining in the mailroom or getting fired. Anyone else have a definition of faith that, I mean, grace, excuse me, that rings true for you?
Yeah, it'd be like giving somebody something that they need, whether they deserve it or not, whether it's money or healing or something like that.
They don't deserve it, and yet you give it to them. Someone over here had your hand up. Oh, I see a few. Ronnie, would you stand?
Unlimited help.
Unlimited help. If it's not enough, come back. I'll pay the difference, right? I'm paying the bill. I'm paying it in full. And here's the money. I think it'll cover it. Bill, would you stand? I think this much will cover it, but if not, it's unlimited help. Is that what you said? Unlimited help. I'm coming back. I'll pay the bill in its entirety, even if it's more than this, even if it's more than we anticipate.
I always go to the concordance where it says it's God's reflection in your heart, touching your heart, and then it's reflected in your life.
I love that. God touching your heart and reflected in your life. Amen. I see a hand up over there. Meet me in the middle. Come on. Come on. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Amen.
When you love someone enough to save them, not for who they are or what they are, but because they are.
Not for who they are or what they are, but because they are. So we're talking about this beautiful thing called grace today. And the challenge is, what will we do with God's grace? Well, I want to say that the Scripture tells us that grace is freely given. In Psalms, chapter 84, the 84th division of Psalms, in the 11th verse, we read these words, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." The Lord will give grace and glory. And yet some of us, without meaning to, some of us, without realizing it, have folded our arms and said, not for me, I'll take the test, instead of receiving grace. And yet God wants us to have grace. Amen? How does he want us to have grace? The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Acts, the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse, we read these words, Acts 11 and 23, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad," this is Barnabas, "and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Grace is something you don't want to go through your journey without having in abundance. Amen? I need this undeserved, this unmerited favor with God. How about you? Or do you want to just take the test? No, I don't want any freebies, God. Thank you very much. I'll do it on my own. You know, even if you went to Calvary, even if I went to Calvary, even if we shed our blood, it wouldn't pay the price for our sins. Jesus did that. And he did it freely. And he did it gladly. Amen? And some of us, without meaning to, have frustrated the grace of God. And we should take seriously this topic of grace. We're in the first week of a five-week series titled Grace. We're starting it in our community groups this Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to it. If you're not part of a community group here at Christian Fellowship, you're welcome to plug in. There's no cost for it. You can plug in on Wednesday nights to a community group, and this Wednesday we'll start week one of our five-week series, and we're going to do it on our Sunday morning services also. We're going to discuss this topic of grace, and it's my prayer that what will come of it is that each of us will find more ways that we can be receptive to the grace of God. Amen? More ways that we can receive this grace that God has for us. More ways that we can live in the grace that God has for us. More ways that we can be empowered by the grace that God has for us. Amen? Grace isn't cheating. Unmerited favor is not cheating. I want all the favor with God I can get. How about you? I want to tell you a story about my father. I've shared some other stories about my father. This to me is an odd thing. I don't know why he felt this way. I don't know what led to it. But my father, one time I asked my father if he would allow me to pray for him. He needed a healing in his life. He was sick. And I asked him if he would allow me to pray for him. And he said, please don't. And I said, why is that, Dad? And he said, I think it's wrong to pray for yourself. And so I think it's wrong for me to ask you to pray for me. I said, tell me more. Help me understand what you're thinking there, Dad. He said, it seems selfish. It seems like if God wants to bless me, he'll bless me. And if he doesn't, he won't. And I asked him where he got that theology. And he said, it's not open for discussion, Peter. I'm not going to pray for myself, and I'm not going to ask you to pray for me. And I thought, well, maybe one more chance here. I said, well, what about if I just pray for you without asking your permission? And he said, that's up to you. But I would ask you not to. I wonder how many of us live like that with grace. We just, you know, if God forces it on me, okay, but I'm not going to invite it into my life. I'd rather not invite grace into my life. Why? And perhaps there's one person here in this message today, and you need to really spend some time dealing with that question. Have I frustrated the grace of God by just thinking, I'll take the test. I'll do it on my own. I can do this. I can live a righteous life. Live the righteous life the best you can. It still isn't enough. Do you know the Bible tells us without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sins? Amen? Grace is God's gift for you and me. It's his unmerited favor. It empowers us for service. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, this is Apostle Paul writing, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. According to the grace of God, he said. According to the grace of God. He didn't say he was a wise master builder because he was wise. He said he was a wise master builder according to the grace of God. Amen? Go out and accomplish great things. Go out and do great things. Go out and be great, but do it according to the grace of God, which is given unto you. Amen? The first 10 years after I got out of the Navy, I was the assistant pastor of our congregation, but it wasn't a paid position, so I had a full-time job in sales. And God blessed me in that effort, and I won some awards through the years. And the reason I mention that is not to boast, but to make a point, that when I would go to the podium to receive an award, I would always thank God and say that God had blessed my efforts. And one day, there was an awards ceremony. It was the end of the year, and the senior vice president of the company, who was the man presiding over this meeting that was giving out the awards, said, "Hey, Pete, could you do me a favor?" I said, "Sure, Mr. Stonebreaker. What's that?" He said, "Well, this time when you come to the podium, don't say anything about God." I said, "I can do that, Mr. Stonebreaker. Just give me the plaque at my seat, and don't hand me the microphone." He said, no, you won the award. We got to bring you up, and the tradition is I hand you the mic and have you say a few words. I said, "Well, we got a problem then." I said, "Really, I won't be upset if you just set the plaque at my seat. I'm okay with that. You've already paid me." Yes, I was in it for the money. And he said, no, we got to bring you up, and I have to give you the mic, and you have to say something. I said, "Oh, then we have a problem." He said, "Why are you making this difficult?" I said, "Mr. Stonebreaker, I can't receive an award without acknowledging what I believe is the source of the power that is in my life. And frankly, sir, we don't have a problem. You have a problem. You have to decide if you're going to invite me to the podium or not. And I'm telling you, I'm okay if you don't." And he said, "You're not easy to deal with, Payne." So that night I got my award, and I said, "I'd like to thank God for blessing my efforts." And Mr. Stonebreaker just shook his head. And I said, and I shook mine too, but I shook it this way. You say you were being stubborn. How could I be a whatever, and in this case, Paul's the wise master builder, and not give glory to God? Not acknowledge that it was God in my life that did it, amen? And I hope that that doesn't in the least way sound like I told that story to be boastful, but rather to acknowledge the fact that it was the grace of God in my life that allowed my efforts to be blessed. Yes, I put forth effort, but I think it was the unmerited favor of God that allowed me to, that allowed my efforts to be blessed, amen? No doubt there were people that worked just as hard as me but didn't get the results I did. God blessed my efforts. And I invite that grace into my life. Do you invite that grace into your life, or do you just want to take the test? Do you just want to go it alone? You see, grace is something that's beautiful and wonderful and powerful and meaningful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, again, we talk about how grace empowers us. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Let's read that backwards. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen? Do you remember Paul the Apostle was also the one who said, "If I boast, I boast in Christ. Bear with me in my folly." Amen? Some of us think modesty is never acknowledging any good thing that was done by your hand. Mothers, if you've raised wonderful children that love God, be thankful for that. And say, "By the grace of God, I raised these beautiful children." Amen? Wives, I know there's some of you here who are married, you don't have children yet. If you're raising a wonderful husband, I'll leave that there and get back to this verse. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace..." I think I've lost some of you. I've got to get you back. Let's see. I'll try a joke. Maybe that'll work. Let's try. So this cartoon is a picture of a young girl. She's coming out of children's church. The pastor is there in the receiving line. He's shaking hands. This girl has a name tag on. It says Grace. She's got a scowl on her face. She's looking up at the pastor. Her hands are on her hips. She says, "So, who's this amazing Grace I keep hearing about?" Oh, I love that. Who's this amazing Grace I keep hearing about? Yeah, we all want to be center stage, don't we? But the reality is that when we're center stage, we have to acknowledge it's by grace. It's by grace that we ever get center stage in our life. Amen? And if we've got center stage, if you have anything in your history where you've had center stage and it wasn't by the grace of God, it was by your own efforts, you know that it leaves you hollow and empty. But when you can thank God because he did it, he brought it, isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome to know that God can bless you that way? Amen? Amen? So now in verse 10, I'm going to try to read it all the way through this time. The preacher keeps interrupting me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Do you see how grace is not the enemy of work there? Grace is not the enemy of labor there. Grace is unmerited favor that blesses your effort, that blesses your work, that brings glory to God for it. Amen? Pastor Wilson, here you go. I don't want to leave you empty-handed. Pastor Wilson said years ago, I can't preach a message without bringing Matthew 5:16 into it. And it's true. It's my favorite verse. I just love it so much. When Jesus said these words, "Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works," it didn't end there. He said, "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen? And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He wants to multiply your efforts. And he wants the glory. Amen? And you get to take center stage and say, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Amen? We're going to be talking about grace these next 5 weeks, and I pray that it blesses each of us. I've had the privilege to be a part of the preparation for this, and it's blessed me. It's helped me to unpack some of the ideas of where grace sometimes is the enemy of something else that God has for us, and it's not. It's always a compliment, never a competitor. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you want more grace in your life? How many, look around, hold them up for a minute. We all want more grace in our life, don't we? Amen? Grace is a blessing. Grace can be rendered ineffectual if we do it wrong, if we understand it wrong, if we live with it wrong, and that's why it's so important for us not to frustrate the grace of God. Romans 6:1 said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." It's not in the notes there. I just made reference to it. "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Why would you want to frustrate the grace of God? Amen? Grace is not a credit card to sin. We don't just get to use this grace card, and it pays the bills for us. Not by choice. Now, we're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. There's the rub. We have to get up and face forward and say, "Here am I, Lord. I am what I am by the grace of God." Amen. Let's talk for just a minute. 2 Corinthians is one example of chapter 6 and verse 1 about how grace could be rendered ineffectual. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of gift of God," excuse me, "the grace of God in vain." That you receive not the grace of God in vain. God wants to bless you, and he doesn't want you to receive this grace in vain. He wants it to be a blessing in your life. He wants it to be a blessing in your life. I've got a couple more scriptures I want to share with you, and then I'm going to try to close by setting up this series to be a blessing in your life. Grace is never given for selfish use. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Excuse me, verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Saints, a moment ago when I asked you how many want more grace, it looked like everybody raised your hands. In one sense, I think I'm taking the test. I'm doing the best I can every day. How about you? I'm striving to live a life that's pleasing to God. There's days I come home and I'm exhausted because I've been on the battlefield for the glory of the Lord. And if it's been a successful day, it's because it's the grace of God in my life. Amen? And I can tell you, unfortunately, there's been days that I've come home exhausted, and I frustrated the grace of God because I tried to do it on my own. We're going to take these next weeks studying the grace of God. And my prayer is that all of us will draw closer to God in the process. My prayer is, musicians, would you come and help me close this part of the message, and I'm going to turn it over to you so that we can sing together this last song. My prayer is that each of us will grow in grace, and that the areas of our life, watch this, I'm not just going to step on your toes right now, I'm going to step right on your feet. You ready? That the areas of your life, the areas of my life where we're frustrating the grace of God will yield. And we'll stop frustrating the grace of God and embrace the grace of God and let the grace of God be alive in our lives to where it flows beyond our ability to contain it. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand together as the singers come. We're going to sing together, and I pray that this part of the worship will lead you to prepare your heart for what God has to give you with His amazing grace.